del aire.
Indeed. Indeed. What's happening, loved ones? LA Talk Radio. My name is Johnny Scott Gramercy. Thank you so much for coming past. Tonight, in the guest chair, I got Isaac Pelayo. What's going on, dude?
I'm not chilling, man. How you doing?
Really good. Isaac Pelayo, up-and-coming artist. He's got his first solo show coming up in a couple weeks. We're going to talk a little bit about that show and some other things. Kick back, loved ones. It's all gravy from here on out. We'll be right back. Marvin Gaye for you. Next up, some brand new music from You Know. We're hanging out. We're having a good time. Stick around.
I got places to go. together, then maybe I'll feel so much better. And this rainy weather ain't helping. Boys in leather jackets, they are walking by. I'ma quit this. While he's out there taking his, I just need someone to break this wall of bricks I've built, yeah. So I wanna know, what's the weather like in Toronto? This time of the year, it should be so cold. But I just need another place to go.
Brand new music from Yuna. Places to Go was the name of that tune. Malaysian artist. Good stuff. She got a little bit of help from DJ Premier on that one. Prior to that, we heard Marvin Gaye, I'm Going Home, from the What's Going On LP, 1971. Also from 1971, I'm the Black Gold of the Sun by the Rotary Connection, featuring Miss Minnie Riperton. That was her final album, actually. Hey Love, 1971. And here we are in present time. Sitting across, we're chatting with Isaac Pelayo. What's going on, dude?
Not much, chilling, man. How you doing?
Really good, really good. Thanks for coming past, man. I know you came in from Vegas.
Yeah, 4-hour stretch straight here.
And Isaac has a... it's your first solo show, right?
Yes, sir, it is.
And the title of the show is called Broken Beauty.
Yes.
A solo exhibition curated by your father,
yes,
Antonio,
sir.
Yeah, who I've had on the show a couple times. We're all friends now. And hosted by Freddie Negrete.
Yes.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, man. That dude knows a lot. He's got his crowd.
Yes, you
know, people
absolutely
know his name. And that's all going down. We'll be bringing it up again, the date, but it is going down June 18th from 7 to 10 p.m. at the Over the Edge Gallery. And that's at 5413 West Adams in Los Angeles, California. Yeah. June 18th. We'll be mentioning that again. So first solo exhibit. Are you, you got butterflies? How you feel? Confident?
Oh, yeah, I definitely am. I'm a little nervous. I've been, I definitely been working really hard to make this happen. So now that it's like happening, it's kind of like, oh, it's like, I've replayed it in my head so many times. So now that it's like a physical thing, it's here, I could see it. It's like Christmas coming the next day. So it's like, oh my God, what's going to happen?
That's right. Yeah, that kind of Christmas countdown feeling. Yeah.
Yeah,
I know exactly what you mean. So you're sort of the work you'll be exhibiting is like a charcoal pencil.
It's ink. Pencil, yeah. It's all ink. Done in a 2B lead with mm-hmm. a mechanical pencil. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I was debating on when I was in the process of making the series for the show. I was like it was just, you know, what medium should I choose? And I, you know, I'm dabbling into like oil paint and a little bit of acrylics and doing a little bit of charcoal and stuff. But I just wanted to stick to my main focus, which is graphite and 2B lead.
So. Keep it simple, straightforward. Yeah. What I think I dig about your work a lot is, well, you concentrate on faces a lot, but more specifically eyes. Like your eye, the eyes all had, there's narrative in every one of your works and told through the eyes. And I dig that. And the cool thing about eyes is it's not, the actual eyeball is not really a part of the expressive part. It's everything that's going on around it. So just in the brows or the squint or a little wrinkle or something like that, like there seems to be some sort of communication going on there. And that's pretty cool. I like it.
Yeah, it's definitely something like I've kind of chosen to always draw, and I've always had this thing of just drawing eyes, and I always felt like everybody has different eyes. So when drawing, mm-hmm. it's a bit's better connection for me when I really focus on the eyes.
You start there?
Yeah, most of the time, yeah, I start with eyes, and then I'll just kind of, you know, build around it, and then however the rest turns out, it kind of turns out that way. I always try to get the eyes dead on. You know, growing up as an artist and then hearing from art instructors, it was always get the eyes on point, because if the eyes aren't on point, then the piece, you just lost the whole piece.
For sure, yeah. Something else I kind of dig about your work is you, I don't know if this just comes from your hand moving across charcoal all the time, but there seems to be, intentional though, there seems to be sort of like these ghost wisps coming off of your subjects sometimes. And what it does is adds some movement there. Because especially with faces are stationary. I mean, I know if you're, you know, there's a couple of your studies where, you know, like nudes and things like that. And that's easy to kind of add movement to because, you know, that's what bodies are in motion all the time. But portrait, straight one-on-one portrait, you know, it's hard to get that, but you kind of still create some movement there with those kind of, I don't know the right term, but like these ghost sort of wisps.
Yeah, yeah, I know what you're talking about. That's usually there'll be some, a little bit of, you know, a little mountain of graphite powder chilling on top of the paper. And what I'll do is I'll take a brush. Normally to clean off whatever, you know, eraser shavings or mm-hmm. excess lead that's on the paper, but it kind of drags the lead off mm-hmm. a little bit, kind of into like a
scrub. It's like a hand broom sort of with soft bristles. I've seen it.
And, yeah.
Yeah. Drafters use it.
Yes.
Yeah. Huh. That's pretty cool.
I'm actually interested that you like noticed that.
except there's one, there's one piece where the eyes are absent, and that's like a luchador face, luchador mask, and there's like no eyes in there.
Yeah, yeah.
It's pretty creepy. was that just unfinished or?
No, it was actually intentional. I just figured it strayed a little differently from what I normally do. Mm-hmm. So I try to incorporate a little new things in every other piece and not try to stay so consistent. You know, I try to think outside the box, and I'll try to do something a little different to throw people off.
Yeah. Oh, and there's another piece too where it is just an eyeball in like the middle of a mandala.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that's the luchador's eye, I guess. You just did over there. also a tattoo artist as well?
Yes, sir.
How long have you been doing that?
So the first time I got my hands on a machine, it was probably about 15 going on 16. I just saved up my money one day and was at a swap meet. And there was a, you know, elderly dude and his wife who made handmade machines. And they were selling them for like $60. And I was like, dude, I got to have one. Picked one up and took it home and started practicing on oranges. And, you know, I had a couple of fake skins and I just did it. And then like the next day after that, my uncle was just like, dude, just throw a banger on my ankle. So I did a cross on his ankle. And from there, just... You know, I went to all my cousins, my mom, my pops, you know, tatting up all the people from high school and stuff.
And does that pay the bills nowadays? Is that your kind of main money?
Tattoos and definitely my artwork. I mean, tattoos brings the big check. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I can do a tattoo one day and it'll bring a big chunk of money. And then, you know, with my artwork is a little more like... I sell a lot of pieces, but they're very, you know, reasonable priced. And then with tattoos, I mean, when I was back home in Riverside... I had a bigger clientele, and that's just because I grew out there, so everybody knew me. Mm-hmm. Going to Vegas, where no one knows me, so now it's like, you know, I'm kind of competing with all the shops out there.
Yeah.
So it's a little harder.
Yeah, it seems like there's some common ground against, you know, working on another flat medium, but the thing that's different about tattoos, from, you know, it seems to me is like... every tattoo is a collaboration. And I don't just mean conceptually, but because you have to work with that person's body ergonomically. So, you know, by nature, it's sort of a collaboration. It's not just a flat piece of paper.
Right.
Yeah. Which do you prefer?
You know what? It's really hard to say because, you know, putting artwork on skin is so much different from working with paper. Like you said, it's they're working with me as well. I mean, as far as being patient with me, how their body is reacting to the ink. So it's just a different process. And it's a much more like deeper meaning because like they, you know, they have a story behind whatever they're getting. So it's like, I have that connection with them and it's like a challenge. Cause like, dude, this is permanent. Yeah. So like the idea of not, you know, screwing up and it has to be perfect in one shot. That's, you know.
Yeah, for sure. A lot of pressure.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely.
And we were talking with Isaac Pelayo, and he's got his first solo show called, the title is Broken Beauty, and it's coming up on June 18th over there at the Over the Edge Gallery. He's going to stick around. You're sticking around, right?
Oh, absolutely. Right.
So let's play a little bit more music. First up, Monica, Secret in the Dark. Enjoy.
Thank you.
Hot Eight Brass Band out of New Orleans. What do you think about that? Loved ones. I love it. Take It to the House was the name of that tune. Next up, the one and only Charles Bradley. Newish music from Charles Bradley from his latest record, his third LP called Changes. This tune is called Good to Be Back Home. Think about that, loved ones. There's my papers. Yeah. Charles Bradley, Good to Be Home was the name of that tune from his latest LP, Changes. Prior to that, we heard the Hot Eight Brass Band, Take It to the House. And we start off the set with the one and only Monica, Secrets in the Dark. Monica is an interesting artist. That's from her album from last year. Secrets in the Dark is the name of the song, as well as the name of the LP. And Monica's done a lot of collaborations, specifically with the Daptone roster, like Antiballis, but also a lot of other artists like Calexico and such. Anyway, that's her own LP, Secrets in the Dark, from Monica, out on the Other Music label. That brings us right up to present time. Still chit-chatting, man. Isaac and I, we're getting along pretty well, talking about locations, cities. And where were you? You're originally from Los Angeles area, right?
Yes, I am. I was born in Paramount.
Paramount.
Yeah, and I lived in Norwalk, Southgate. The most recent, and then I moved at 3 years old to Norco in Riverside County, and then most recent time living in LA was in Glendale with my dad, and that was last year. Mm-hmm. So like end of 2014, beginning of 2015, and then I moved back to Riverside.
So your father, of course, Antonio Pelayo, and known to a lot of folks. He's been a guest a few times on the show and does these great events, and a well-known artist in his own right. I know that talent was recognized early with you, and I'm going to just go ahead and guess, obviously, it was supported, you know, because you probably wouldn't be here if it wasn't, like, as far, well, not supported, encouraged.
Yeah.
And supportive, you know, as far as trying new stuff. Could you describe that a little bit?
Well, you know what? I mean, I would say, obviously, like, I took interest in art very early on. And, you know, doing that, my dad always supported me. My mom always supported me. Everybody always supported me and pushed me to do it. And they see him, you know, I think it was up until maybe I was around, like, 13 where I really just took it. And I was like, all right, this is what I'm doing. I focused on it. You know, it really didn't matter who was supporting me at that point. I knew what I was doing, and I was doing it, and I was doing it every single day.
Some of the areas that you mentioned, I know that there's a lot of, like, bad business that's conducted around there and gangs and such, like, you know, like, were those most of your friends, or did you feel like you couldn't connect with them, or what do you think?
You know, I had a lot of friends who were involved in a lot of, you know, I had a few friends who were involved with, you know, the wrong people and the wrong crowds. I was kind of an introvert. So I just kind of, like, I was in my own world. I never really had time to, you know, be involved in what was around me or who was around me or, you know, what was around me to influence me. I was just in my own bubble, just doing my own thing.
You're secure in your own self.
Right.
And, would you say that that's an influence from your folks?
Yes and no. I mean,
nurture versus nature. Like, would you say it comes from?
I don't know. It's kind of difficult because, like, you know, like, I don't know. Like, my parents were always caught up in doing their own thing. So, like, that's what I'm saying. I don't know. Like, you know, saying self-made. Like, I take that very, you know, prideful.
Yeah,
like,
gotcha.
Like, I pretty much kind of, you know, I watched my parents and just kind of learned off them and took bits and pieces and just kind of, I don't know, molded myself, you could say. Mm-hmm. Obviously, like, my parents have influenced me completely, and just, like, you know, I moved around a lot. So, like, moving around a lot kind of really influenced me too, meeting new people and constantly networking and just being in different environments. And, like, that, you know, really was just, like, I don't know, I guess I kind of had to, like, nurture myself in a way. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I just kind of had to, like just constantly be my own, like, guide in
sort
a way.
Figure stuff out on your own. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. You know, I was homeschooled from eighth grade up until my junior year. So I was, like, you know, really teaching myself was something that I really, like, did. Regardless of whether my parents were, you know, teaching me something, but, like, as far as, like, my artwork and my creative abilities and my mindset right now, like, I've always just been the person to just kind of, like, be in my ear and just constantly, like, get at myself.
So cut to from senior year, which is just a couple years ago, right?
Yeah, 2000, yeah. Class of 2014. About to be 20, actually, on the 7th. So,
oh.
Yeah.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, so.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. Yeah.
So, cut to 2 years later, living in Vegas, tattooing, and you got a hot-ass dancer girlfriend.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
So, what set you in that path over there in Nevada?
Well, you know what? My mom moved to Vegas when I was in third grade, summer going into my third grade year. And I attended a Roger Garing in my third grade year. That's where I met my girlfriend. Actually, my girlfriend today, I met her there. And I left 6 months into my third grade year back to Riverside. And then I didn't have any, you know, contact with my girlfriend. Her name's Dakota, by the way. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have any contact with her for, like, 3 years up until MySpace came around in my sixth grade year, made a MySpace, and I found that you can search people. Mm-hmm. I found her by going through, like, 500 of girls with her name, and then...
Stalked her, yeah.
Oh, totally, right. Yeah. I was on a mission.
See, loved ones, it pays to stalk.
Right. No, definitely. Yeah, do it.
Is that what you're telling people?
Yeah. In a good way. You know, don't be a creeper. Don't be staring at windows. But yeah, so I, you know, I found her and then kept in contact with her over the years online and then through cell phone, through text, through FaceTime, Skype. And then it was up until 2014 where I was with my dad in Glendale and she told me that she was out with her parents for a week visiting Disneyland. Mm-hmm. I told my dad, you know what, dude, you got to get me a ticket. Like, come on. You work with Disney. You got to hook me up. Come on. So I went there. I saw her for the first time in like 12 years, finally established something. And, you know, after living with my dad for a while, I ended up moving back to my mom's, jumping from job to job, like just trying to save up money. You know what I mean? And then I finally just like, I don't know. Like, I just got it. I picked up and left. And I just, you know, I got a place out in Vegas. And, you know, my girl's living with me. And now I'm going full-time at UNLV, where she's going again. So going to school together in third grade, you know, blank for so many years. And then going back to school together college. Yeah.
It's great. Yeah. So real quick, I got to ask this question. And yes, loved ones, this is very important. What and where is your favorite taco?
You know what? It's so hard. I gotta say, I love my mom's tacos. Like, okay. The way she makes some carne asada tacos is the best. Yeah. I can't, I don't really
Tell
have a
better.
Favorite. I mean, she makes homemade chili. So, like, you know, whenever I smell in the kitchen cooking, I'm like, oh, dude, it's going down. Mm. Like, I already know. Like, if I go to my mom's house right now, like, I can guarantee you someone's cooking up. So, definitely.
Carne asada? So,
yeah.
On the grill or what?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, you know what? I can also say the first time I went to Mexico, we were in El Grullo. And it was my first time in Mexico. And we had some, like, off the street, like, gorditas and, like, some... Yeah. Fresh, handmade fresh carne asada tacos.
Sit down on the curb and eat.
Oh my God. There's nothing like tacos straight out of Mexico.
Yeah.
Like straight from me.
Yes.
There's nothing like it.
Street tacos, yeah. Fish tacos down in Ensenada.
My girlfriend, she's white. So, like, I mean, nothing against white people, but she goes to Taco Bell and she goes to Del Taco. She gets some hard shell tacos.
I don't hate that stuff. It's just not...
It's not authentic.
It's just not... It's fine. I'll eat it and like it tastes fine, but it's not, when somebody says taco, it's not what I think of.
Yeah.
As an artist, here's probably a problem as an artist, which is those are a lot easier to draw.
Yeah.
The hard shell tacos with lettuce and stuff.
Yeah.
Trying to draw traditional tacos, a little difficult.
Yeah.
Comes out looking all messy. Anyway, loved ones, we are talking with Isaac Playo. He's got his first solo exhibition coming up called Broken Beauty. And that's curated by his pop, Antonio Palau. And that's hosted by Freddie Negrete, world-famous tattoo artist from Shamrock, right?
Shamrock Tattoo. And it's also presented by Paul Stewart, who's an OG DJ.
Oh, excellent. Yeah. That's going down June 18th at 5413 West Adams. Loved ones, if you check out the Facebook page, LA Taco Radio Facebook page, I'm going to have the flyer posted up. Music coming up from Adina Neri.
cold, cold world. Yeah. Let me take y'all back, man. As I do so well. Wanting nothing like that. Man, it wasn't nothing like that first time. She was in my math class. Long hair, brown skin with the fat ass. Sat beside me, used to laugh, had mad jokes. The teacher always got mad, so we passed notes. It started off so innocent. She had a vibe and a nigga started digging it. I was a young and straight crushing, trying to play this shit cool. But a nigga couldn't wait to get to school. Cause when I seen them thighs on her and them hips on her and them lips on her, got me daydreaming, man, what? I'm thinking how she rides on it, if she sits on it, if she licks on it, make it hard for me to stand up. As time goes by, attraction's getting deepened. Wet dreaming, thinking that I'm smashing, but I'm sleeping. I want it bad, and I ain't never been obsessed before. She wrote a note that said, you ever had sex before? Damn, and I ain't never did this before, no. And I ain't never did this before, no. I had sex before, knowing I was fronting. I said, I'm like a pro, baby, knowing I was stunting. But if I told the truth, I knew that I'd get played out, son. Hadn't been in pussy since the day I came out one, but she don't know that, so she done wrote back and told me, oh, you a pro, homie? Well, I want you to show me. My mama gone for the weekend, so Saturday, baby, we can get the freaking. That's when my heart start racing and my body start sweating. Baby, you done woke my little man up. I'm thinking how that body look naked when you laying on the bed. Teacher, please don't make me stand up. I wrote back like, yeah, baby, sound like a plan. Still trying to play it cool, sound like the man. But I was scared to death, my nigga, my stomach turned. Talking shit, no. And damn well I was a virgin. Fuck. And I ain't never did this before, no. 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 I ain't never did this before, no. And I ain't never did this before, no. And I ain't never did this.
You know that feeling when you know you finna bone for the first time. I'm hoping that she won't notice it's my first time. I'm hoping that my shit is big enough to fuck with. And most of all, I'm praying God don't let me bust quick. I'm watching pornos trying to see just how to stroke, right? Practice putting condoms on, how it go, right? I'm in a crib now, nigga, palm sweating. With a pocket full of rubbers and an erection. That's when my hands start touching and her face start blushing. And a nigga roll over on top. And then she get my pants unbuckled and her hands start rubbing on me. Ooh, girl, don't stop. It's time for action. Pull out the condoms real smooth. Yeah, just how I practice. But right before I put it in, she flinched and grabbed it and said, I wanna get something off my mental. I can tell you a pro, but baby, be gentle. Cause I ain't ever did this before, no. And I ain't ever did this before, no.
Loved ones, we're saying goodbye to Isaac Pelayo. He's wrapping up his stuff to head back on the road. But I'll be seeing him again and hope you will too at his first solo exhibition, Broken Beauty. That's that goes down June 18th at the Over the Edge Gallery at 5413 West Adams. And like I said, loved ones, check the Facebook page, the LA Taco Facebook page, and you'll be able to see a flyer for this particular event. Thank you so much, loved ones, coming past and allowing me to play some music for you. And I will speak to you very soon.